I complained about not hearing from John Garrett. I just got a telegram message from him. It says, I find great joy in flipping kids in kayaks. Your kids are safe with my boy.
Your kids are doing great, guys. Make sure they sign up for kayaking with John Garrett.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Dribbled tea all down my front. Boy, so, welcome to 53.
We're doing great.
I'm like, gosh.
We're doing great. This is Designer Cornbread, episode 42. And we're dribbling coffee on ourselves and we're in big old glasses and it's just is what it is.
Hey, I got my hair in a ponytail. I've got that look.
Cute. You got the little poodle puff up there.
That's right.
It's very cute. Right. I like it. I like it a lot. Well, what has been going on? Get us caught up. It is it's a gorgeous day here. I'll tell you what, it's cool and gorgeous.
It's cool. It's cloudy here, but you know, we had some bad storms come through yesterday. So we got a break from this, you know, heat and humidity and all of that. So anyway, what's been going on? Let's see.
What's happening down there?
No, I just, you know, I'm in my summer and it's peace, but, I go to a Cumberland Presbyterian church. I left my little Cumberland Presbyterian church. I'm going to say that Ron and I left the United Methodist Church years ago over a lot of different reasons, a lot of different issues. Mm-hmm. And now the United Methodist Church is, they're in a mess, you know, all the way around.
Welcome to churches, guys.
Yeah. And it's, but here I am trying to have my peaceful summer and everybody's like calling me and I'm like, I'm not in this anymore.
Not my circus, not my monkeys. Bye.
So I'm like, okay. But anyway, you know, I'm praying for y'all and move on. But anyway, so that's, I've been, you know, dealing with phone calls and text and all that. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I'm not there.
Well, people are just wanting support probably from you because they know that you
care. And I do. And I'm like, you know, when anytime you leave a church, it's you are going to go through a grieving process, especially, and you've been there. Y'all have had to, you know, y'all have left churches that it's not the building, but that building is some holy ground to you. Mm-hmm. You know, you're
a lot of like memories. A lot of memories there.
Well, significant events. You know, I mean, my parents were married there. Ron and I were married there.
I wore a purple bridesmaid outfit there.
You were lovely.
That was a big moment. Continue. And it actually is a good color. I should have kept.
Trying to help you. I was trying to help you back then.
Anyway, carry on with your seriousness. Yeah, you had a lot of things, a lot of history.
You know, my grandmother, my dad, their bodies laid in caskets up there at the front of the church, my children. So you're going to go through a grieving process. Mm. And, you know, I still drive by the church and my heart breaks. You know, it's a grieving process.
Yeah, it's like you've been ripped. It's like a tearing. Yeah, really, it is. That's the best description I can think of. Is because you're knit together with people in a place, and then it just for whatever reason,
and it's
it
your
gets
church,
torn.
Especially if you've grown up there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's your church family, and it's horrible. It's just horrible for, you know, everybody going through it. But anyway, so that's been going on, and then our friend Paige, her son had a 17th birthday party. Oh. And Paige doesn't do anything small.
Not halfway. No, not halfway. She's not a halfway kind of gal.
She is not a halfway girl. So I went out Friday night out to Burnt Church. Love that name, by the way. That's a little country community, beautiful land out there. They've got beautiful views and all that. So I went and helped her set up. Nice. They had a pool party and, you know, of course, Paige can't have a pool. Hers is one pool, but it's three pools put together.
Oh, it's like a whole, it's like a whole like system. It's a whole thing.
I
love it.
And we put up palm trees with lights around them, and we blew up a million beach balls, and you know,
oh,
so
fun.
It was fun. And then we went out.
It sounds like the ultimate summer party, man.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. But Friday night, you know, none of the kids were there, so Paige and David and I could sit out there in the country, and you know, we just sat there in the little chairs and talked, and the breeze blew, and it was all nice and peaceful and quiet. And then Saturday night, we went, and there were a million kids there, and I was like, "Hey, I'm got the food set out for you, and I gotta go.
gotta go sit at home in my chair outside. I gotta go.
I'm telling you, those kids were having a ball.
Oh, I'm sure. What a wing-ding. I mean, that's the benefit. There's a downside to not having your birthday during the school year for a lot of kids, just because they don't, if you like, you know, there's stuff at school and your locker gets decorated and it kind of, if you are into all that, your mom could bring treats to your class and all that. But man, the upside is y'all can get in the pool. Y'all can have a lake party. Y'all can get the slip and slide in the yard, whatever it is you need to do. Those summer birthday, that was, you know, Thatcher always was in the summer. So it was a good time. Well, that sounds pretty awesome. I'm kind of jealous. Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Friday. Well, we've got Vacation Bible School coming up this Wednesday.
Okay.
And so,
what's your theme this year? There's always a theme. What's the theme?
I don't know because what? I did not. I know.
Aren't you snack lady or something?
No.
Oh, good. That's right. You're not.
Well,
good. No,
I didn't sign up to help.
Good.
Because I was just at that point that I thought, I'm not well here.
No.
You know.
I'm not okay.
I'm not. I may go like show up and say, hey, can I help y'all? But I did. When it came time to sign up, I thought, I don't know if I'm going to be physically able to do this right
now. I remember we talked about it. Now it's coming back to me when I was there. Yeah. I'm very proud of you for not signing up.
I know. I said no.
Give yourself a minute. Yeah. You did that for how many? Not that.
Yeah.
You know, just because kids are gone, you don't want to do stuff, but it's like just your focus is somewhere else for a minute, and that's good.
Well, we're having Vacation Bible School from Wednesday to Sunday. And then after, now I am doing this because I'm on the fellowship committee, and we're having like a lunch after church, but that is Father's Day. Yes. And so we did Father's Day at church and at home here. I mean, this Sunday, yesterday.
Oh, you already had it.
We already had it.
Okay, you scared me. I thought I missed Father's Day, and I had a little moment.
Father's Day the rest of you will be Sunday.
Okay, thank you.
But we did it early. Just due to conflicts, we did it a week early. Oh, and nice. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. My preacher, he put it out there Sunday. One of the best sermons I think that he has done. It was really good.
Oh,
it was. He talked to men, and he put it out. He just laid it out there, and it was just really good.
Oh, that's good.
I may post a link up to it. But you know, and my pastor doesn't yell ever, but this at some point he raised it, and I think that's more effective. You know, when sometimes you got those preachers that scream and scream and scream
all
you know,
the time,
just,
and you just filter it out.
Yeah,
you just tune it out. Then you're like,
but you know, when you have one that never, and then he finally raises his voice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he is like, "What is more important than your children's spiritual lives?
Mm.
What's more important than you showing them that you are coming to church, that you are going to Bible study, that you are praying? What is it? What's more important?"
Right. Is that YouTube video more important?
Yeah.
Is it? Right. And now we all can listen.
Yep.
We all can get a word here. Hear that? That's a good reminder.
Yeah,
really.
It,
and truly.
It just was. He was
on spot fire. On. Good.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, look at you.
It's good. I know. So I've had a good little week here.
Nice.
So what have you done?
Well,
wedding planner.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Packing has commenced. Operation Florida packing has commenced. So I'm sitting here in my little studio right now, and I'm like, I've kind of used this for my staging area, and I've got bins and things that are starting to get filled, but that's good. It's, you know, it's kind of go time. So I'm starting to work on that. And then Hudson got back yesterday, late last night, mm-hmm. from the big Thatcher Bachelor weekend.
He made it. Bachelor. I'm liking that.
Listen, guys. We talk about parenting. We talk about those themes on here a lot. And as we are, Joni and I got together, you know, I said last week or so. And one of the things we talked about was, again, kind of our focus on the podcast. And we want to make sure that we are, because we can get on here and just chat. I mean, you know, that's fine and that can be fun. But we really want to have one of the focuses, one of the main pillars on here being about how we're in this journey of this transition of, like, many, many, many of you, from kids to we have some new words we're going to use for it. We can talk about that later. But with it, the empty nest, as we have known it to be, but we don't like that term. So I don't know. I guess we can. We want to talk. What did we say? We want to learn how to de-nest.
Well, and de-nest. De-nest and then re-nest.
And re-nest. And what all that means. So we're going to unpack that over the next few months with you all. Because again, we're doing this together. You know, we've been friends forever. We're in the same phase of life. So we're doing it together and with you all too as you're doing it. So all that is to say, you know, your parenting and then things, how it changes, and all of a sudden your youngest child is driving off with another one of the groomsmen to Atlanta, outside of Atlanta, for a bachelor weekend for your oldest. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic. But that takes a little bit of talk. This is why we talk about letting go. This is why you have to start letting trust. And it all, to me, it's a huge faith walk, because it's a huge trusting in God, because the world is scary. I tend to worry. I'm an Enneagram 6. So, I mean, talk about safety and all the things, but God is really good and he really works. And I don't mean to make a bigger deal of it than it is, but you all can relate. You got little kids and big kids and all the kids. You can, you know, it's not easy to just go, is he going to be okay? And is he, you know, all that stuff. But anyway, he is back safely. Once he leaves the door, I'm actually better. It's more the lead up to
it's
it.
It's the lead up.
Yeah. That just, and I, you know what? I'm learning and learning more and more. I pray about it. And I just ask, you know, of course, I'm asking God for, that sounds cheesy, but I'm just like, you know what? Keep him safe. But then I also really try, and this might help some people too. It helps me. Because I can get stuck in fear prayers. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And where I'm, and those are earnest prayers, and God hears those prayers and loves those prayers, but that are based in fear, like keep them safe and I'm afraid, you know, this and that. And I do, of course, want those things, and I do ask for God's protection and all those things, but I also really try to turn towards the less fear-based prayer and be like, man, let it be a great trip. God, let them have the best time. And I know that sounds, maybe some of you all do that all the way anyway, but my mind can tend to just get stuck in the fear prayers or praying out of a heart of fear rather than praying out of a heart of flourishing and abundance. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that helps, because I'm like, man, this is a great weekend. My sons are going to be together at this cabin. They were on this Airbnb on a lake, which was beautiful. The HUD came back and just said it was just beautiful. They are with a group of great guys They did go-karting. They were going to go this fantastic go-kart place. Hudson's like, he beat all their butts, which, go figure, Mr. Hand-Eye Coordination of the world. They were going to go into Atlanta on Saturday, but they ended up just staying out at the house because it was so great, and kayaking and canoeing and playing basketball and, you know, so here I am. The lesson in it, of course, is always praying out of that abundance. You would never want your child to miss that.
Yeah.
Like you would never want
well,
that.
It is the getting there. I mean, you and I have, and I went through the same thing when John Garrett drove to camp. I know he's having the time of his life. I know that, you know,
he's supposed to be there,
mm-hmm. but you know, that day he's driving up I-40, you and I have both driven it. We've been on it many times, and we, you know, it's just one of those things that you kind of, you pray
you
and
do. And so, that's the thing. It doesn't, you know, end. In fact, again, you know, that change of the parenting, because now you know, when they're younger, you have more control. I know a lot of our control is perceived control, but literally you do have, you know, they're not going to get in a car at age 8 and go drive 3 states away. You know what I mean? But,
right.
But, you know, so you really have to kind of balance that. And I'm really trying to learn that. And it always, you know, not that everything is always going to turn out great, and that's where my, you know, mind can go, but it was good. You don't want them to, the alternative. I always can challenge myself with what's the alternative to try to keep them from doing things, which is not possible when they're grown. B will only serve to stifle the relationship that we have with our kids, they have with each other, and
controlling it never is it's never a relationship builder.
Never.
Ever. It's not.
It's not.
Now, I will tell you that I am, you know, I am not a fan of cell phones. I'm not a fan of all the technology, but I'm going through a little bit of what our parents went through, in that when Caleb went to camp, he would check in on his, you know, when he had a off hour, when he had a, he didn't have his cell phone, but he could telegram us from his from his laptop. I rarely hear one word from John Garrett, which, you know, is fantastic, actually. Yep. But I'm like, okay, John Garrett, okay. And I'm going through a little bit of withdrawal, I guess. You know, but, and I think
for
back
sure.
to when we were at camp.
Oh, they
would have never dreamed of calling my parents.
Well, I think in between terms, a lot of, you know, in between terms, sometimes the little payphone underneath the outside the office, we had this little outside little payphone that you could only use. I guess that started to later be on your off hour or off day. You could, you know, go use it. And I would occasionally call and check in. And when Thatch was at camp as a counselor, I don't think but just maybe between terms,
we would get a phone call or whatever. But
John
Garrett is treating me like I treated my
there you go. So you just take that and just it's all good. So all that is say wonderful. The other thing that I did was on, why is my computer not charging? Hang on. Something's weird here. Sorry. Pause. Well, it's not charging. We'll see. Who knows? My outlets are acting weird. The other thing everyone wanted to know that is, so like I said before, we were going through videos and doing some stuff and I'll tell you what, I had a complete come apart watching a video of little Thatcher. I don't know how old he was, 2 or 3, maybe, walking in our living room of our house that we're still in today. And he walked by this chair, Joni, this recliner that we had for forever and ever, that we just, as we moved him out of his Nashville house, put on the curb. I was done. He walked by that chair and I went, we just put that chair out. And he looked at him. He's little tiny there. walking by that same chair that's sitting on outside of the house on the curb in Nashville.
Yeah. It
was a full circle moment. I don't know why the chair, but that was, it's all pretty cool, but it's crazy. It's crazy. And speaking of Father's Day, because you were talking about Father's Day, so I was remembering, because I knew we'd probably chat about that today. And one of a very memorable Father's Day, Tim's first Father's Day, my husband Tim, was when Thatcher came home from the hospital on Father's Day. Because he was born.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he was born June 17th. And so every 6 or 7 years, whatever it is, that fall. Mm-hmm. Well, he was born. We didn't come home. I was in the hospital for 4 days. So that's what I mean. His birthday does fall on Father's Day every few years because it's close. Yeah. Like mine falls on Mother's Day every 6 or 7, whatever it is. And, we came home from the hospital on Father's Day. And so talk about a sweet, you know, overwhelming feeling. Again, we'll never forget leaving the hospital. You probably had this feeling with the first one. You're putting them in their little seat and everything. And, you know, you got to strap them into 1,000 things. And it's the weirdest feeling because there's been people with you in the hospital. And especially if you've had a C-section, you're there longer. So you have more help and kind of you're laying in the bed for 4 days. And they just give you this kid and they send you home.
Right.
You're like,
and now what?
And I mean, you know what to do, but you're like, they're just letting us go home with this child.
Yes.
Do they know what they're doing?
Yes.
And they do, and it's fine. But I remember, so we came home. Tim's parents were here, of course, and my parents, and we all had Father's Day over at our house, you know, just kind of came home together there and for a little bit. And I remember Tim, I guess he went upstairs with his dad. He had a come apart.
Oh.
He rarely has a come apart, but it hit him like a wave because it was twofold. It was, you know, here he is. He's got his firstborn. It's Father's Day. And really it was him being with Gary, with his dad.
Yeah.
And he was recalling because his grandpa, so Gary's dad, died very young. And, you know, I want to say he was in his late 50s.
Wow.
Maybe early 60s. Tim knew him, like had met him, but didn't, you know, was very, very young when his grandpa died. So it was just kind of this overwhelming of, it was a lot. It was a lot of just thinking about that and being with his dad and not knowing how, you know, how many of these times you get. And and then his son, he went upstairs and had to come apart. Meanwhile, I'm the one that's like, I gotta go to bed now. Y'all do what you need to do.
You have to pull it together because I
had gave him his moment. It was really precious. So I will always, he'll always remember that. Very special, very special Father's Day. So anyway, that's all I have about that. Do you have anything else you want? Because I've got a couple more things that we can get into, but not, what else do you
actually,
got?
I actually do.
Oh, good. I love a surprise.
We are recording this on Monday. On Tuesday, tomorrow, it is my mother's birthday.
Mm.
And it is also Phyllis Garrett's birthday.
That's right.
It's the double day that we lovingly refer to Phyllis as Mama G.
Yes.
And anyway, so, it's interesting because, you know, my mother, I have a great mother. I really do. And, you know, I have no complaints, nothing. My mother and I are very different, and she is a math teacher. She is very, you know, analytical, and I'm not sure that she knew what to do with me when I was born because she's very introverted and stoic, and I'm, you know, party in a bag.
You're not.
You know, I don't know.
So. You're a little more outgoing
Not. I'm not a math teacher by any means. So. Mm. You know, it was interesting. I mean, she's a great mother. She's not the, you know, let me get down in the floor and play with you and, you know, all that kind of.
Right. All moms have different.
They have different,
you know,
gifts. And
all
different,
of us are,
you know,
do different in different ways. It's very so, kind of fascinating.
So I will say this, though. Phyllis Garrett showed me the mom that I wanted to, or that I was going to be, you know, the party at my house, all the, you know, everybody here, everybody. And, yep. And my mother was good with, she had the number of parties that woman let me have growing up. Mm-hmm. My goodness. I mean, mm-hmm. she may not have been the instigator of it,
right.
But she certainly allowed it. There's no telling what I put that poor woman through.
Oh, no doubt. Seriously, I can't wait. We need to have her on to tell some stories, to be honest.
Anyway, but it's a good, you know, both of them, I'm just thankful that God brought both of those ladies mm-hmm. in my life mm-hmm. because, you know, one gave me all my solid foundation and the other kind of led me to what my life would be. And, you know, and Phyllis mm-hmm. had three boys. I had three boys mm-hmm. and
she bakes cookies like nobody's business. Joan, you know, bakes cookies. Like, yeah, it's kind of, there's a lot of similarities.
There's a lot. Well, you know, the other night, Caleb had a bunch of boys, 22-year-old guys out there watching the NBA game, championship game under the gazebo. And I walk out and there's Coke bottles or, mm-hmm. you know, beverage bottles mm-hmm. all over the table. And I'd made, kind of put out a big bowl of cookies. And I'm here to tell you, I had 48 cookies. I brought two cookies inside mm-hmm. at the end of the night. Mm-hmm. Between about five of them.
I mean, yeah. That's not even a dozen a piece. Those poor boys.
You know, but Abram.
Are those boys,
you know,
listening? Those boys need to listen. Because
no,
I got to meet
to
some
us.
Of them.
No,
I got to meet some of them the other day. I got to meet Greasy. Yeah,
you did.
And Greasy's brother. And Tristan and what's the one start with a C? Clayton?
Clay. Yeah.
Clay. Oh, here. See, look at me. I'm remembering.
Yeah.
So we just shout out to those boys. Anyway, but back to Mama G. That's really what
we're. Yeah, no, but that was it. You know, and Abram. You've known Abram. Abram is Caleb's little best friends, and they've grown up together. And Abram just looked up at me and he said, I love it here.
Aww.
And I thought, That's Mama G.
That's the nicest, you know, compliment you could ever
is.
Get.
It yeah. is.
That, I mean, and it just, and it doesn't, it's not a, it's not, yeah. I mean, you and I know it's because that's the point of hospitality and the point of whatever. I don't entertain a ton, like by any means, but I think that my kids' friends, that we want people just to feel comfortable.
To feel,
be
right.
comfortable,
yes.
feel at ease here, just feel like it's just kind of a little haven, you know, whatever. I mean, we may not right. be the big party house, but I think our kids' friends have felt, you know, oh yeah, you know, it's just it's a safe, just comfortable, welcoming place. And we're
yes.
not, you know,
and that's you
important.
Know, that's for me, a good definition of hospitality mm-hmm. is when people walk away from you feeling better than when
yes.
they first walked up to you.
Yes.
You know, and that's.
They're comfortable. Yeah. They're comfortable. That's what. That's why you offer someone a beverage and you do this or that right. because you just want to be, hey, just, or as most cases really, when they're kids like that, you know where they are, you know, yeah. you help yourself yeah. to the freezer, you know, they
yep.
know that they can just be and right. do. And that, yep. that's amazing. And you're right. That's a good thing that Mama G always and Papa G always welcomed. We always felt so welcomed into their home between terms. Yeah. For those that don't know, we'd go over there. They lived in a little town near the camp. They still live there in the same house that we went to. And as counselors and work crew, you know, every 2 weeks you use a new term. So you'd have a little break and we would get to go off, you know, off site of camp if you wanted to. And they always opened up their home to us. We would do laundry. We would all lay around. I mean, we had people laying everywhere.
Lay on the floor in the air conditioning.
Yeah,
that
just
was,
being in the air conditioning was so nice. And the cookies.
You, yes. Yeah.
And the Coke machine with the Coke bottle. You know, it was so just welcoming. I mean, I remember when I first went over there, and I mean, I didn't know them very at all. I just knew the boys. I'd met the boys, and you all already knew them. And they just, you know, because I knew you all and was with everybody, they just welcomed you right on in. So I'm just, it's just
I
a
do
good
remember
memory.
Jumping in the car and going, where are we going? and Boogie sang three words to the Garretts. And I thought, how? You know, when I look back on that, you know, I had no idea
what that meant,
how that would bless my life, and what that meant. And that one, that Boogie could say anything significant in three words is a miracle.
That really
in itself.
Is, because that boy can talk.
Let's be honest, in three words that I can understand.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's really the truth right there. Yeah, that's the truth. And no, you're right. It opened up a whole world, you know, and to the point of where, like, again, we still go y'all, they have opened up. We're not just talking even then. We've gone at Thanksgiving when they've been out of town and just been like, go to our house. You know where the key is. Yeah. And us and all our kids, like, just the sweetest.
And I will tell you right now, Caleb will not hug anybody. He's getting a little better.
He hugs me. Caleb, I'm quite. He gave me a big hug this last time. I'm not gonna lie.
Yes,
I was like, okay,
okay. I mean, that's significant, right? Because Caleb will not. I mean, he would run from the girls, which was probably turned out to be pretty brilliant. But I mean, he's not a hugger. He will hug me, and he will hug my mother. Mm-hmm. And he will hug Phyllis Garrett. Mm-hmm.
From little bit when he was
from
young.
From little bitty. Yeah. And that is it. Well, if you can win Caleb's heart.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
And she was a kindergarten teacher for years. So can you imagine? Just imagine the most wonderful kindergarten teacher ever.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what you've got. So I hope Mama G hears this. I hope if you do, that you just have the best. We, Designer Cornbread, we wish you a big ol' happy birthday from Designer Cornbread. That's a thing. That's a thing. Maybe we should, you know. Oh, you did
What's
it.
That?
Yeah. Dude, I forgot all about those sound effects. Guys, we're so bad.
I labeled them, but I'm so blind I can't read them.
Oh,
now.
Good grief. No. The struggle. The struggle is real. That's so awesome. I would love, and I, you know, again, for all 5.5 of our listeners, I need some book. We talked about books last, you know, and you were like, I need some recommendations. And
yes.
I do too. And I was just trying to think, I'm like, you know, to me, I'm like, okay, so I like all kinds of, you know, different books, but I'm like, when I think of like my ideal, I'll just say summer read or, and you know, you can read whatever you want in summer. Some people like to read really in depth, you know, whatever you want to do. But for me, I'm like that summer read or that beach read.
Yeah.
I want, y'all can help. I want like, I want something that is taking place. Most generally, it's taking place in the South. It's some kind of Southern story that takes place somewhere really like almost like Southern Gothic, kind of like it could be in Savannah, Georgia. I would love a good New Orleans. You can throw some voodoo up in there. You can throw you can throw some little supernatural aspects. Oh. It didn't do all the way. Do it again. Voodoo. Thank you. Oh my gosh, that was ridiculous. I mean, it didn't have, but you know what I mean? Like, I want some, like, it's hot and steamy. I don't want, like, sexual steamy.
What?
I'm just saying,
my.
Like, it's atmospheric. It's, I really love, shut up. I really love settings a lot.
Yeah.
So setting is really important. It could be small town something, and there's something. I don't want just fluff. I want like I said, like a little, a good murder, a good. I want like, the Divine Sister Yaha, whatever the Yaya. I just watched that movie the other night, the Yaya Sisterhood.
I don't know that I've ever even seen it.
I really enjoyed it again.
Okay, good.
I really did. I want like that. It can be like women. I like any kind of story or any kind of movie about like women friendships, but then there's like a secret and there's fun. And I don't know. I do like those, but I want like that meets the Garden of Good, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, meets Where the Crawdads Sing, meets, you know what I mean? Like,
kind of picky.
No, I just, that's all I want. People, what is it? What do I need to read? Give it to me. You know what I mean? That's what I want for either that or like, I do always like, you know, I always got really happy about any kind of good new John Grisham, the legal, the thriller things. whatever, a good
thing. Yeah, those
thing
were
like
always
that.
Good summer books.
Those
too.
Are just good. So I didn't have to be like fluffy, beachy, but it's like that just fast paced kind of like a good. Maybe he's got something new. I think I'm caught up on all his books, but
I am not. I need to catch up on his.
I don't know. So that's what I want, people.
Okay.
Make it happen.
I am doing a new little Devo called Made to Crave by Lisa. Oh, I can never say her name. Turkhurst.
Made to Crave. Oh, that sounds interesting. Made to Crave. Have you talked about that on here?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay. All right.
I have not.
Tell me.
Because I've just started. Well, you know, we talked about the Way Down workshop. And it's a lot of that. And I'm getting a lot out of it because I'm taking it in a million different directions. You know,
it applies to not all these things that, like, quote, the Way Down workshop / cult. We understand. Don't come at us. We know. Or that they do apply to other areas.
Right.
Of anywhere idle and excess. And
And it talks about, you know, that your whole healthy eating, weight loss journey. I mean, this is a spiritual problem. It's a physical problem. And it's an emotional problem.
Mm-hmm.
And
as
all
are
of that,
most things that we deal with.
Right.
I mean, that's who we are. We're physical, emotional, spiritual beings.
Right.
Mental, you know, so.
So I've really just started. I'm not that far into it.
Is it like a book or is it like a daily devotional?
It's like a daily devotional.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it's really good. And I think she has a book on it. But I'm not sure. I need to look at that. Anyway.
That sounds awesome.
That's what it is.
And I love that.
I did run this morning. Run, not walk.
Ew.
I know. I'm not a runner.
Ew, yuck.
I am not a runner. But
I
did
that makes my knees hurt just thinking about that.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'm like.
Well, the smoke's been bad here. The other day, we had bad.
Oh, did you?
Hazy. We did. Well, it was hazy. Our air quality's been terrible.
It was a little hazy here.
It was hazy.
It was
like
not
brown
like,
hazy.
Oh, it was not that bad. It was just like, I don't know, just hazy. Like,
well, it was humid.
Gray.
Yeah, we had all that humid, but this was a little different. It was cloudy, but there was just a titch of from that smoke from the fires or something. So hopefully.
A friend of mine posted on Facebook. He's from Canada, actually. And he posted a little meme of Jerry Seinfeld and Kramer. And Kramer smoking a cigar and blowing the smoke in Jerry's face. And Jerry's like waving it out. And over Kramer, it says Canada. And over Jerry, it says New York.
Right. Like, I know. I didn't realize it was that bad. Like, because Thatcher's in D.C. and it's been very bad there. And I haven't even talked to him. Anyway, he was out of town this weekend, luckily. So, but anyway, you were making a point, and I can't remember what point you were making. You were saying something.
No, I just was talking about this Lisa Turkhurst book. And, you know, and that's something maybe we need to explore, like, in depth one day. Mm-hmm. I know we've probably wasted so much time now, but.
No, let's put it
we'll
on
put
the
that.
Thing. I would love to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great idea because I think there's a lot going on with that. I think there's a lot as women that we think about and this is a good time to flesh that out. I do have a did you have something else? Sorry. Go ahead.
No. I just was going to I was going to explore Father's Day a little bit more, but go ahead if you've got something. No, I want you to tell us about your dad.
Oh, tell me about my dad.
Yeah.
Oh, dad, my dad.
Mm-hmm.
His name is David, and he's a super genius, and he is an architect, interior design and exterior both, and has had a long, long career doing that, has known he wanted to do that since he was a kid, just extremely talented. He's in that and in design. He's the best architect designer that I know I'm biased. But whenever I see the things he designs and works on, I'm like, there can't be a better way than that. That was the perfect, you know, he comes up with solutions for things and creative designs and the function for things and that are just, you know, he's got extremely good taste. He gives great gifts.
Listen, I love Holly's dad. I'm going to
He knows
tell
how
you.
To cook. He loves the finer things. So
I came we came to Holly's house after camp. I mean, when camp was over.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you're just tired and dirty. I mean, everything you own is just dirty. It's got this smell to it.
And you just, right. Nothing's been.
And we got there and your dad had all kinds of Caswell Massey bath products waiting for us. And then the next morning we got up and he brings us. No, we didn't even have to get up. We're still laying in the bed. And this man walks in with this white tray.
It was white wicker.
Yeah, it was a white wicker.
You really
tray.
Remember.
I will never forget it. I'm telling you. After pouring every bit of you out at camp and somebody's coming in. White wicker tray. And had little flowers on it and raspberries. And I'm telling you, I looked up and I thought, I am in love with this man.
I know he's already married and has children, but
her dad and married.
But. Yeah. My dad has loved it. It's just my sister and myself and my mom, but he loves taking care of his girls and his women, his lady people in his life. He's very good at it. And just enjoys. He's just given he and my mom both, but the man loves, dishes, tableware, you know, setting a beautiful table. I really get that from him, really more than my mom. She could do it, but my dad really.
He's gifted.
Flourished at it and enjoyed it.
Gifted. Yeah.
Yeah. And he just, you know, all the little things, you know, a dad should do for his little girls and taking us shopping for Easter things. He was much more of that than my mom. She did not really care to. It's interesting how you kind of talk about my mom and I are similar in a lot of ways. And she's very feminine, very all that kind of thing.
But
very artistic, very like another genius. So I don't know. It skipped a generation. Hopefully Hudson,
kids
got
it.
But, you know, so just really they complemented each other well, but in different ways. So. Yeah, I'm my dad. What about your dad?
He's
dads in a way.
He very much liked the aesthetic of things.
Beautiful things.
He was a pharmacist and, you know, 100% taught me my love of the water. I mean, we would go where my mom was not like, let's go outside. My dad was like, hey, be a nice night to go sleep on the boat tonight. Like, let's go, you know. And, you know, we just were, you know, we had a good time on the water all the time. He worked a lot. He worked very long hours. And he and my mom, I will say, my dad got saved when I was 3 years old. And when he got saved, he got radically saved. And he loved the Lord, but he and my mom complimented each other in that, you know, what I saw going on in my home, my dad was all in, you know, he the worship was his big thing and praise. And, you know, if I ever listened to Christian music, it was because of my dad. You know, he had the Gaithers playing, he had, you know, all these things. But my mom was like the rock. You know, I would get up every morning. I got up and my mom was down there with her Bible open and, you know, reading and studying and, you know, and both of them were praying. Matter of fact, there's in the United Methodist Church here, there is the John Hutchinson prayer room.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. When he passed away,
That's neat.
They decided to, because they were both such, you know, intercessory prayer warriors. But anyway, you know, you get a lot of good things. Dad had kind of he didn't talk a lot about his childhood because he kind of had a rough raising, I think. And, love that man. I'll tell you what, he loved food though.
So does mine. I'm telling you, our dads
They're pretty similar. Yeah.
My dad, same. He loves a delicious, he doesn't have to eat a lot of, but he is what I would think would be called a bon vivant. That's that person that just loves delicious, you know, yes, interesting foods and yes, things and life. When I think of your dad too, I always think of the orchids. He grew oh, orchids yeah, in your greenhouse. I always think of your dad yeah, and flowers and orchids.
Yeah. So dad, he grew orchids. Well, they went to Hawaii when mom was pregnant with me, and that he developed just a love of orchids. So he had this greenhouse built when they built our house, and he had, y'all, I mean, plant after plant after plant after plant after plant of orchids in this greenhouse.
I mean, I think I only saw it from the outside. I don't think I ever went in
Did
it.
Did you? Because okay.
No, so, but
well, man, when I was little, and you know, you don't know what you have until it's gone. You don't, because I'm little, and I would go and take, you know, take a bath, or when I would wash my hair, and when her mom would take me back and wash my hair. And they'd wrap my hair up in a towel, and always 100% my dad would go out and clip an orchid and come and stick in the top of my towel right there at the top of my head, you know? And,
oh, that's so awesome.
You know, who does that now? I mean, if somebody stuck an orchid in my hair after I washed my hair, I think I'd gone to heaven, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I didn't know. You know, but yes, he certainly loved all that and loved his flowers and making everything beautiful.
I'm walking around, so just give me a minute because I have to plug in. But I'm going mobile, people. I'm going rogue. Why these plugs? No, that's it. But that's, I remember you sharing that, you know, about those orchids. And I always thought that was such a cool. And my dad grew up with horses. He actually grew up on some property outside of Kansas City, in Kansas City, Missouri. And he had horses, specifically a couple different kinds, but Tennessee walking horses. So he grew up riding horses and broke every bone in his body at least once, I think. And but that's where I got my love for horses and horse shows and all that fun stuff. Okay. Sorry, people.
Holly's computer is dying. She's having to search for an outlet that's working here.
My
so
house is, there we go. Oh, jeez, Manila.
Yeah, but and my dad died. My dad actually had a heart attack on my wedding day.
Oh my gosh! Guys, yeah, it's
the day
true.
I married Ron Shank, it's that true. Man had a heart attack, and then he died 6 years later on our anniversary. So he 12:30.
It's not good. It's not
12:30. I swear that man pushed it just over the line. So
it's so true, you guys. Oh, I'll never forget. That was a lot. Didn't you have to come home from your
Well, what happened? You know, that's a whole nother story. And you know, my anniversary's coming up. Let's put that because I have a great little anniversary, a great little honeymoon story. Chaos story.
All right.
Yeah, no. I need another one is what I need. But
you need a redo.
I need a redo. Anyway, so we'll tell that. I think we've been on just about an hour, so we make, but and then I totally hijacked your couple of things that
no that's actually I have a quick why don't you go ahead and do your recipe real fast, and I'm gonna go grab a piece of paper, and I just have a quick podcast to recommend that I'm only gonna do it really quickly because I think it's timely, but do your recipe and I'm gonna run the other room real fast.
All right, y'all, so my recipe last week, I gave you one that was quite involved. This one is not going to be involved, and it is a fantastic, one of my favorite little summer side dishes that I do. And all you need is squash, olive oil, some basil, and Parmesan cheese. And that's it. And you can make as much or as little, but you just slice your squash into bite-sized pieces and, you know, keep them in your little round circles, then drizzle them, lay them out on a cookie sheet, drizzle them with olive oil, and you can add whatever seasonings. I usually just do some, pepper and some basil, and then you top it with Parmesan cheese, and not the cheap Kraft Parmesan cheese. You want to get the you know, real Parmesan. That's either I like to use shaved. You can use the grated Parmesan; it works fine too. But I like the bigger shaved pieces. Seem to, you know, just cover it really well. And then you're going to bake that at 350 for 20 minutes. And it is so good.
Now, what? Tell me, I missed because I was in the other room, but just tell me what the title is.
Parmesan squash.
Oh, yum. Okay. Delicious. Yeah,
it delicious. It's delicious.
Oh, I love squash.
And then next week, as we close in on the 4th of July, I am going to give you my mother's favorite recipe, or Holly's favorite recipe that my mother does.
Yes.
And she's actually making it today, Holly.
Oh,
for her bridge group.
Oh, good.
And
so you can get a picture maybe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it is called Cherry Berries on a Cloud.
Mm.
It is a great summer little 4th of July. So that's to wait for next week for that one. But that one's quite involved. This week, it's easy.
This
great
is a
little side dish.
And that's a great side dish because it just goes with whatever you're grilling.
Right.
You know, you grill whatever meat you're grilling and then you just need a veggie side. That's awesome. Great. Okay. So really quickly, I have just a podcast episode to recommend that's just kind of timely. And it's the podcast is the Lazy Genius podcast, and I'll send the link to you, Joni. And it's the Lazy Genius with Kendra Adachi, and it's it's got lots and lots of episodes about lots of things. But this was episode 316. It was just on this week, and the name of it was How to Not Bummer Your Summer. And it's a very timely. I think it would be really a great thing to think about as we're all getting into summer. I mean, summer's really, you know, pretty much here and full blown. But a couple of things that she just kind of lays out, you know, we're all going into summer and we can how to not bummer your summer. Like there's things that are coming up and that you need to think about. And if you just kind of prep yourself a little. So she just gave quick little points. She's like, the reason we bummer ourselves or our summer is because we have like a pattern of adverse reactions to unmet expectations. And I think you can apply this to marriage. You can apply this to anything you want. But like in the summer, there's kind of three areas that she broke it down and you can go listen for more, but it was like the number one is just attitudes. So my attitude and others' attitudes, right? So like that can be a real bummer when your attitude or other people's attitudes in your family are not meeting your expectations. You know, summer, we all go into summer thinking, oh, it's fun and we're going to have, you know, all this time together and do all the fun summer things. And then people start to have attitudes at different times. And then that can put a quell on it. So some people are more sensitive to that. Like you kind of have to think about how impacted am I by, you know, attitudes? Does that really bum me out? Do I, you know, and how we can kind of pivot, how we can kind of break those chains of those reactions. So that's point one. Point two was the other area that we can have adverse reactions to with unmet expectations is in our plans. How, if things are getting planned and how they're being planned. You know, again, some of us are more planners. You know, some people works better. They want to really be tight, but it's kind of like to let go of this idea of plans and expectations. You do need to make plans and we do want to, you know, move towards things, but just kind of thinking about how we respond when the plans don't either get made or don't go how we want. And then the last area, which I thought was really, really interesting, and especially, I mean, again, all this applies to all of us, but this might bless a lot of mamas out there too, is just kind of how tightly do we hold on to the magic and memory making of the summer. Like, you know, I think a lot of us go into, again, kind of with that expectations of attitudes, we want summer to be a certain thing because we want to, you and I talk about this a lot over holidays, you know, we want to make memories. We want Christmas to be magic and, you know, summer to be all the things. And especially if you are having a summer, maybe that like, what kind of expectations are you putting on it? You know, is it your child's last summer at home? Is it their first summer back from college? Is it your first summer being married? Is it, you know, and so then that adds a whole element of, oh, we have to make it this or make it that or, you know, and it's just that idea of how tightly you hold on to that, and realizing that, you know, you can't force magic. You can't force right. the memories.
Yeah.
You know this. They come, you can try to plan some things. It's not like you're saying you can't, but it's kind of like, you know, we're going to go on this hike and everyone's going to love it and it's going to be a great memory. Well, then the kid who's hungry and then, like, you know, he has an attitude, and then this happens, yeah. and then see your whole magic making
is gone.
Is in the crapper. Well,
you know, here's one thing that I realized about summer. I don't know. I just was looking at someone's pictures somewhere, and it, you know, our summer right now is not going to be the summer that we had as kids. Thatcher, let's go back because he's young. Thatcher's summer is not going to be the kind that he had when he was kids, because mm-hmm. when I was a kid, I mean, I went all the time.
Yeah.
But my family would take a vacation, and then my best friend's family would take a vacation, and they wanted to take a friend, so she'd invite me. And I'd get back from that, and I'd go to a church retreat. Then I'd go to camp, and then I'd go somewhere with my grandparents. And then I'd go, you know, spend the night with so-and-so, you know, three or four nights in a row. We'd go to the pool. That's not, you know, you're not going to go all the time as an adult. You've got responsibilities. You've
as
got,
an adult, so, yep, that's exactly
you
right.
You know, so we have these great memories from summer. Of just this vacation, that vacation, going here, going there, going.
Or well, not doing back, that. Like for mine, my summer was pretty, like we would do, would do camp. We would do a week of church camp, and then we would usually have our family vacation. So we had some things, but otherwise it was me out in the yard, like
I gotta with tell my you, friends. I was in Florida, you know, three or four times this summer.
Yeah, we did
but
not
it wasn't
do
my
that.
Family that was going.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it was that. I went maybe with my family, or I'd go up to the mountains with my family.
Mm-hmm, right.
But then I was going with friends would invite me
right.
to go, you know.
But you're right. It was a fun. It was like what one fun thing to the next fun thing.
Yeah. Yes.
And now it's like you have a job and
you have bills to pay. And you have
yeah. Well,
you
and
know,
that's
so
true.
Where I
and
think when we're trying to create those memories mm-hmm. for our kids, mm-hmm. we've got to be very aware that their memories may not come just, you know, from us.
Right.
We don't have to feel all that time.
Exactly. It's,
you know.
So. Yeah. No, that's a really good point. I just thought it was a good, if you're planning, and she also has really good, in this episode lists a bunch of other of her episodes that touch on similar topics. So it's kind of a good resource. In fact, she named one that I'm going to go back and listen to. Episode 205 that was on, she's like, are you planning a summer wedding or a shower or a blah, blah, blah? Mm-hmm. And it's not like these are not tips like her things. I listened to many different ones over the, you know, years. And again, the name of the podcast is The Lazy Genius. And her kind of her tagline is how to be genius about things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. Yeah. So it's like that whole idea of priorities, boundaries, picking and choosing the things. It's kind of like you've heard the analogy of there's glass balls and there's rubber balls and we're juggling. And you got to know the difference between the glass and the rubber. Right. So, you know, there's certain ones we can't let fall because bad things are going to happen, more consequential.
Crash. Yeah.
And there's other ones that it's just going to bounce and, you know, it's fine. It'll be okay. So that's kind of her whole thing. So I have a feeling that like the wedding thing, it's not going to be like tips on how to plan. It's going to be more like tips on like getting your brain. I imagine this is, I have not listened to it, but kind of like the summer, like what's important about the, like what matters and what doesn't. Cause you know what, again, I've got 50,000 pairs of silver sandals in my house right now. And guess what? I decided I don't want silver. I want navy blue ones. So it's fine. My point is, who cares?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to care. And I don't, and I'm not stressed about it. It's just, you got to have some shoes on your feet. So we're getting some shoes on our feet that are comfortable and all the things. But it's that kind of thing. I think it's going to be like that mentality of, you know, hey, you know, I've been joking with Tim and Thatcher, you know, this as we've gotten each little piece of the puzzle has come into play. It's like, do we have a place to get married? Do you have the pastor? Do you, you know, they're going to get the marriage. That's the last thing is I'm like, they got to get the marriage license the week before because they both have to be there.
Yeah.
I'm like, once those three things are there in place and we all can kind of be there, That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
We're good to go. Yep. We're good to go. Everything else is gravy and exciting and fun. But anyway, Lazy Genius, go take a listen if you're getting into summer and just help get our brains go. Managing our expectations, adjusting, breaking the patterns of our thoughts when things don't go, I think will make us all happier. There you go. There's all right. That tip. What are you? You have top three.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Top three.
One of my favorite things is that my students still call me for significant events in their lives. Aww. You know, hey, Miss Shank, I'm in the hospital. I'm about to have a baby.
Oh,
Miss Shank, I'm getting married. I love that they still, all these years later,
yes,
call me and tell me.
That is,
I mean,
very
literally,
sweet.
I am in labor. Miss Shank, I'm in labor right now.
Oh, like, okay. You're like, hang up.
Okay, go hang up to the hospital. No.
That's
awesome.
It.
Anyway, and then we have a little Amish market. It's actually throughout West Tennessee here and maybe even into Middle Tennessee. I'm not sure. But Backerman's Market.
Oh.
So if you're ever there, or then they like make little bags of trail mix too that you may see throughout
nice.
Stores and things like that. So my last one, you know, we don't have huge like coffee resources in small town America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have found a little grocery store coffee that I like.
Oh, good. Give it to me.
It is, well, you had it here. It is that Hawaiian coffee.
That is good. In fact, I want to get some of those pods.
And it is called Kauai Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I have to remember it. Hawaii, Kauai.
Like the island of Kauai. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it, and they have a couple of different.
They've got different flavors. Couple, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. No, those were very good when I was there. I really did like those because I'm not a big pod coffee.
Yeah. And they don't have the plastic. They don't come in the plastic. They've actually got a little mesh.
I liked
thing.
That too. So, I thought that was cool too. You know, not that I'm the biggest, you know, tree hugger of the world, but I definitely think that that was great. Well, those are very good.
And hey, as I've complained, I'm going to end this out with, I complained about not hearing from John Garrett. I just got a Telegram message from him that says, I find great joy in flipping kids in kayaks. Your kids are safe with my boy.
Your kids are doing great, guys. Make sure they sign up for kayaking with John Garrett. Oh, my gosh. He needs to kayak in his Bigfoot outfit. That would make me very happy. Except
probably,
if he flips in the lake in that thing, he'll probably drown.
There's that.
Maybe. Well, that's it for this week, guys. Thanks for hanging with us. And we'll have more, words of foolishness and wisdom maybe next week. But think about books. Y'all give us some books. You've heard what we want.
I need a good book. Yeah.
Come on. M squared, Mama G, all you people again, all five of you, we want a recommendation from each one.
I'm kind of afraid of what M squared will recommend, but.
I know, but I'm kind of excited. All right. Have a great day. Goodbye, cornbread.
See ya, corn doggy.
Corn doggy. It's like Snoop Dogg. Can I be Snoop Dogg?
You can be Corn Doggy.
Can I?
Can't be Snoop Dogg. That's already taken.
I know, but what could we Snoop Corn Dog? Snoop Dogg?
Snoopy Dog.
I need to work on that. I need to be something
corn.
Like that.
When did I eat corn dog?